There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I'll beg to differ, sir. We started the game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HC2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say today.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show.
We got boots on the ground reporting in on the Timbers.
We do. I want to get to that. So I'll get to my college football note here in 2 seconds, I promise. I won't punt it to another segment. We will get to our big PP picks here in a matter of moments. Pick our games.
Oh, I thought we did that at 15.
We are. We're 8:15. So, matter in 10 minutes. We'll get to it in 10 minutes. First, I wanted to read this. We have sources on the Vancouver Ford text line telling us what they think's going on.
I mean, at this point, it's just as useful as swag.
Let's run with it.
Swag, you really checked out on the Timbers,
you
man.
You did, man. He did.
You had no idea.
I don't think he's a Timbers fan anymore. He's a Whitecaps fan now.
He's abandoned.
On. Yeah, he is. Big LAFC guy over there now.
Another team he's abandoned.
Somebody said, I missed a segment. I came in at the end of it. My tinfoil hat Timbers theory is that the front office told Chara they aren't re-signing him about a month ago, and it imploded the locker room. Oh. Evander is definitely tweeting about the front office, and Chara gave a rather upset post-game interview where it's clear he's uncertain about his future with the Timbers. This is despite Chara saying he wants to play in Portland next year. His contract expires at the end of the year.
Yeah, I retweeted Ryan Clark, a good friend from the Oregonian, who dabbles in both the Timber. He's a football guy, football.
He's the commercial now. Is the guy from Ted Lasso?
Oh yeah, football.
Danny Rojas.
Danny Rojas.
He's bundled football and football.
I'd love to see Ryan Clark go into the Oregon press box. Clark. Football. He tweeted a thread last night. I didn't see it.
Reporting is live.
It's like that would be great if he just leaned into
needs
that.
Needs to be a shtick. Come on, Ryan. What are we doing?
He's basically saying and highlighting in his Twitter thread, this is directed at Paulson and Grabovoy.
Grab a baller
is what I would call him.
Yeah, not grabbing a baller.
So indeed, not at the fans. This is directed at the front office and maybe all the way to the top.
Okay. Well, not good. Not good signs when that happens to you and your season comes to an end. Appreciate the sources, actual, and our listener sources who are trying to help us out on
Clark
that story.
Clark needs a tattoo that says football is life.
I think he definitely does.
That would be great.
It'd be pretty badass.
What football would you want to spell as a tattoo, though? I think the UTBOL is actually cooler looking than
because you get the
American
U with the
football
with the accent. You got an accent on your tattoo.
Those are umlauts.
Umlaut. You get an
the
umlaut.
Two dots.
And we just get to say it in like a cool way.
Football.
Yeah.
Let's get to an embarrassing look for head coach. You guys remember when Chauncey Billups was hired and our general manager at the time was taking sips of a water bottle to get out of answering questions?
Yeah, it was his indication to the
remember that?
The media person to cut the interview and the question.
Trifurcate.
It was his like secret coded way of saying, don't let this be a question.
Well, we have one of these yesterday. There is a football program that is having a couple of former players go through the legal process. I will explain that more in a matter of moments. Penn State's got a big game this weekend. They're playing Wisconsin on the road. They get Ohio State the weekend after that, which, by the way, was announced as a 9 a.m. game. We need a abolish 9 a.m. big games. My take will never die on that. I can't stand that game should be a whiteout game. Like, that needs to be a primetime, lights going down, whiteout. You're not going to have the same vibe at 9 a.m. as you will at the end of the day.
Got a hot take for you. I love a great 9 a.m. kick time.
When I'm sitting at home watching, it's fine. It's a disservice to the fans in that stadium.
It's 12 o'clock their time?
That's dumb.
And also,
give me an evening game, primetime game.
Why don't you beat Ohio State for the first time in like a decade?
Then you can get your whiteout.
Then you get your whiteout back. Yeah.
Well, he had his weekly press conference going into the Wisconsin game, but he was not the first one to walk out to the microphone. James Franklin was hiding behind a little stanchion. The SID walked out, and this is how it went.
Statement yesterday in our program and athletic department. We have no further comment. If you need the statement, please reach out to me or Chris. Hey, guys. Any questions?
James, at what point in the summer were you aware that these guys were not going to be on the team?
And he walked off.
Again, guys.
SID's back.
The university already released a statement. If you need the statement, reach out to me or Chris. We'll have no further comment.
And James Franklin, enter.
Are there questions about Wisconsin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Please keep your questions to Wisconsin.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. For those wondering, so it's James Franklin. He starts behind a banner. He makes his SID go out there and say, look, we're not going to answer any questions on this topic. Then Franklin walks out and says, hey, guys, how's it going? And the first reporter's like, hey, what'd you know about this story? And then he immediately just turns around and walks away. SID comes back out and says, hey, guys, we said no questions about this. And then another gal comes in and says, hey, we said only questions about Wisconsin. So the story going on, they have two former football players who were in court yesterday to face charges of rape and other sex crimes stemming from incidents back in July.
Yeah.
They were placed on interim suspension for the personal matter over the summer. They were eventually removed from the roster and dismissed from the university in early August. The bond for one is set at $500,000. The bond for the other is at $400,000. So two former football players. So that's the legal proceeding that the people were wanting to talk about. This guy makes $8.5-$9 million a year, man. And you can't come out and say, look, this is an ongoing legal thing. We're not going to have any comment on this. I totally understand that you guys are going to want questions. There will be a time and a place for it. We'll get to it eventually.
Yeah.
He didn't even have the stones to walk out and say that to reporters. Walked out like nothing was going on. And on the O'Shea water bottle notes, somebody had a picture of him standing behind while the SID was out there. And he was like awkwardly taking a sip of a water bottle, which made me laugh.
It's like, you know, he doesn't help himself most seasons because he wins a lot of the games that they're favored in, and then he can't beat the good teams that are on his schedule. So they're always like in this in-between of are they really good or are they just good but better than most of the crap. This was embarrassing yesterday. Look, you want to send out a university statement or you want to, you know, chastise the media for asking questions on this topic after being told, you know, certain things, I guess, go ahead, man. It's the media's job. They're supposed to report on this stuff. These players have not been in the university or the program for quite a while, but yesterday the legal proceedings stepped up with it, and so they were in the headlines, and people just wanted to try to find something out.
Hey, what'd you know? How long did it take to kick him off the team?
I don't understand how this is a difficult thing for him to just say up there and say exactly what you said. It was awkward because the SID is the one that comes out and says, we will not comment. He's standing off behind the screen, the background screen. He then comes out. Hi, hey guys.
Good afternoon.
And like the first five words of the first question, he just walks away like a child.
Yeah.
And then the guy has to come out and be like, guys, I told you. And then, like, the lady has to ask if there's any Wisconsin questions. And after about 20 seconds of silence, somebody finds it, sure. And then he comes out again, hey, guys, as if he didn't just act like a child. It's ridiculous. And honestly, be a good football coach all you want. It kind of speaks to who I think your leadership and your character is.
Yeah.
That you can't even say the no comment thing by yourself. You have to have an SID do that.
Read a statement for
you. What are we doing?
Hey, guys.
What are we doing? Saying nothing but saying it yourself is a much better look than what that was.
We all know that you're going to have questions about it today. The legal process has to play out. Once this is all settled and finalized, we will be happy to answer every question that you have about this court case. But in the short term, unfortunately, we will not be able to answer any of those. Now, if you have any questions about our big game against Wisconsin this weekend, I'd be happy to answer
that. I just find this
whole, that's how easy this is.
I just find it very unlikable.
Even the guy that asked a couple years ago about just throwing it deep down the field and him kind of just, oh, really? Yeah, that's what we do. Well, I mean, maybe you should try it. Maybe trying it once is the worst idea.
Throw the ball down the field. Maybe it would work out for you. So are we all on Team Go Badgers this weekend?
Oh, okay.
Like, screw Penn State, dude.
I mean, Penn State's a certain incident, so yeah.
And then people aren't going to forget Penn State. People aren't going
to
forget.
Your prediction on Indiana, Ohio State, I hope that happens to Penn State.
God, that would be funny.
Need to have Wisconsin be ranked when the Ducks go there.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They're playing great football right now.
A little jump around.
Now, they haven't really beaten anybody with a pulse. A lot of their wins are, you know, Purdue, and they got, I mean, some of their went Northwest. Sterns. They've beaten a lot of those Big Ten teams. This would be this is an interesting game this weekend.
USC is not good. We know that. They came out west and they were winning and hanging in that game for a long time. So
they were. Yes,
maybe they have figured some stuff out here. We'll wait and see. Penn State could also beat them by 20.
Yes, I mean, so perhaps he's an active part of the investigation and can't talk. Not a good look, but that's what it smells like. Like, I'm not, you just come out and say, I can't talk. You give the statement. That's all we're saying.
Not hard to say no.
Making somebody else read a statement for you and then walking off. Just say, hey, guys, I can't answer questions about this. I know you want to know, but once it's all finalized, we'll answer every question that you have. For now, all we can talk about is Wisconsin.
I read two articles.
You're paid $9 million a year. You can go read that statement.
I read two articles. His name, I don't believe, is implicated in this.
Not from what I've read. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but not from what I've read. All right, let's get to our big PP picks. How did we do last week? Who are we taking this week? That's next on The Fam.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
All right, we'll get to some Thursday night football. See if we have any lingering thoughts on the Blazers opener. Lots still to get to in the next 40 minutes of the show. Let's get to our big PP picks, though, shall we? How did we do last week? Well, let's go through it. You two gentlemen went 1-2.
Yes.
I had my first perfect week of big PP picks.
How about that?
You guys took Purdue to cover the 28.5. They came close. They sniffed around it.
They tried desperately
to cover that pick in the end zone near the end of the fourth quarter. See, that Oregon did cover. I was the only one to take them. We all three hit on Washington State. They covered easily against Hawaii.
Hawaii sucks.
And then I was the only one that took UNLV. I was the only one that took the running Rebs.
They won by 8. Spread was 7.5.
Yeah, a couple of narrow misses last week. So 3-0. That puts me in first place, 16-10.
Hey.
And you guys, after your 1-2 weekends, 15-11. We got a heated race going down the stretch here in the big PP picks. We'll find out as the year goes on. Let's start with the size of our picks here. 9 a.m. Saturday morning, we're going to go in chronological order.
Yeah.
The Washington Huskies are on the road at Indiana.
Their head coach came out yesterday in an interview in Seattle and said, "I did not get our team ready to play our last 9 a.m. game. We've changed everything that we've done. We have a formula that works now.
Sure.
Washington is on the road against a backup quarterback in Indiana. According to DraftKings right now, this line has gone up to 7. So I think it was about 5.5 earlier. Up to 7 now. Indiana minus 7.
Is that the Aylin A line?
They're not on Aylin A because you cannot gamble. I got the Aylin A line for Oregon and Oregon State, but not for Washington and Washington State. I go with DraftKings.
Yeah, that's... Oh, man, I want to take the Huskies plus the 7 so bad. And I know you're going to because you hate Indiana. I'm going to take the Hoosiers minus 7. And by the way, Jed Fish has been coaching longer than a year. You didn't know how to prepare for a 9 a.m. kick.
Couldn't quite get their bodies right.
Been around in football for years. That's concerning to hear.
Couldn't quite get the bodies right. Swag?
I think the bye week came at the right time for the Huskies. I think there will be a lot of things that they show that Indiana had never saw on tape. So I will take those points. I think this might be a bit more of a dog fight than some are expecting.
I like where we're going. They're holding stuff for the Hoosiers. How about that?
I was
going
to say, at what point in the year have you not seen what they do?
No, I don't think it was holding stuff for the Hoosiers. I just think...
stuff off of the bye?
It's a bye.
Okay.
This stuff's not working. We need to do something different to generate some offense and points.
You got to score points against that team.
Yeah.
You do. They do have a backup quarterback. I'm really surprised that this number has gone up, to be honest. I know the backup came in and was fine in the second half against Nebraska. That was a Nebraska team that kind of quit. I mean, that game was 42-0, right? I mean, so I'm not going to react too much to that. I think this is a great spot for Washington. I genuinely do. Indiana's coming off such a massive game last week, and Nebraska in town and all that emotion. You win the game. Huskies sitting at home. They're fresh. I don't think the 9 a.m. start time affects them the way that it did with Iowa. They were coming off a Saturday night game against Michigan and then had to go play a 9 a.m. game. They've had 2 weeks now to get their bodies ready for this start time. Look, I do like them to win this weekend. I don't know if they do, but you tell me you're going to give me 7 in this game. I don't think Indiana's that good. I know it's a hot take for some. I will take the Huskies to cover that number. Give me Washington plus the 7. Let's go to Saturday, 12:30 game on CBS, and right here on 1080 The Fan. Might be a little dicey weather, chilly, a little bit of rain in the air. Feels like October football. The number one Ducks are taking on the number 20 Illinois Fighting Illini. And the line on this at Aylin A right now, Oregon minus 21.5.
I'm going to take Illinois plus the 21.5. That feels about what they win by is 21.
Nobody's giving us a chance.
Yep, nobody's giving you a chance. I'll take that many points again. I know I didn't hit last weekend with the Purdue one. Came damn close. I think this is a physical game where there's a lot of running of the football. The clock is moving quicker. I'm going to take Illinois plus the 21.5.
Okay, Swag?
I'm going to lay the points. I think right now... where Dan Lanning has their focus, their attention. They understand in the back of their minds where all of this will lead, but they are of the mindset. They truly have bought in. We're just going 1-0 every week, and they're all dialed in on the game plan. They're this week's opponent, and I think this might get ugly.
It's interesting. They've done a good job of covering big numbers, I feel like, on the road, but not at home. Maybe I'm misremembering some of that, but I don't think they covered against Michigan State. I think they did against UCLA, if I'm not mistaken.
That was on the road.
That was on the road. The Michigan State game was at home. I don't think they covered Purdue.
They
didn't cover Boise or Idaho. They obviously covered Ohio State because they were an underdog in that game. I, too, will take Illinois. If this was 20.5, probably feel differently.
Yeah,
it just Illinois is the kind of team that's going to run the football, try and shorten the game, not make explosive plays, extended drives. So I think it's a limited possession game, and when you have that, it's hard to score 49 points or 42 points or whatever it's going to take to cover that number. I do think Oregon wins, but I'll take Illinois to lose by 21 and cover it by the hair of their nose.
They're also at Michigan next week.
Oregon is, yes.
So it's like, and I know Michigan's not Michigan, but... you're still going to the big house.
Yep.
Do you get up by 20 and the clock runs and Illinois scores a garbage touchdown or something? That's kind of what I'm meaning.
Let's go to 1 o'clock on ESPN2, a Pac-12 game. Excuse me, an ACC game. Wait, I'm really confused. Oregon State is at Cal this weekend.
Yeah.
The line at Aylin A on this, no hook. I wish we had a hook. 10 flat. Cal's favored by 10 against your Oregon State Beavers.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cal here, man. McCoy on the road. Cal should be undefeated. It is one of the crazier stories that they can't win a conference game, but they should be undefeated.
They're in last place in the ACC. They're 0-4.
It's just talking about a record not – that's math not mathing. I think this is a bad spot for the Bees. I think Cal's better. I haven't seen an update on Ott, but there was rumors, I think, last week that he might return for this. I'll look that up, but I'm going to take Cal at minus the 10.
Yeah, I'll take Cal as well. Just I don't know how much more healthy the Beavers have gotten, but in terms of the physicality that Cal will bring and the way that Oregon State hasn't tackled, you just fear they're going to run over him.
Yeah, I mean, this has push to me written all over it. I think it's a tough one for Oregon State to win. They're a different team on the road than they are at home. Maybe I'm taking crazy pills here. I think your team covers this weekend. I understand the Cal analogy. They should have more wins than they have. I also look at the teams they've lost to. Sans, Miami, in a game that they had no business losing. Florida State's they're the only team to lose to Florida State this year. Florida State's terrible.
They couldn't make kicks. They should have won that game.
NC State is awful, and they just lost to NC State.
They were up in that one.
I mean, this is a team that should have a better record, but it's not like they're losing to just top 10
teams. But you are what your record is, right?
You are what your record is. They keep finding ways to lose games. So Oregon State going on the road and winning is a tall task, but I don't think Cal's that good. I think Oregon State can hang around in this game. I would feel much more comfortable with the hook. Not getting a hook scares me. But I'll take whatever, man. Give me the 10. I think the Beavs, you get a spirited effort from them. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if UNLV is head and shoulders better than Cal this year, man. I think UNLV is a really good
Nevada?
Football team. Well, Nevada's different, all right? You had a lot of guys out for that game. You're healthier now than you were two weeks ago.
Okay.
Give me the Beavs. Only one. I'm the only one giving them a chance. Nobody's giving you guys a chance.
You do it every week. You try to act like everything's great.
I picked UNLV last week. I was the only one who took UNLV, and I was right on that.
Yeah,
Maybe you should follow my lead on UNLV.
Check tape. He was like, I don't want to do this.
Maybe you should follow my lead.
Maybe
you should pick where I'm picking. Last one up, nightcap, 7:30 on Saturday night. We get the Fighting Cougs.
This game.
Hold on, let me pull. I want to make sure I get my network right.
San Diego State.
I think it's an ESPN
game. CBS Sports Network.
Okay, CBS Sports Network, 7:30 on the road at San Diego State.
Poor Coug fans. Their schedule sucks.
The line on DraftKings, again, no hook on DraftKings, is 14. Cougs minus 14.
Cougs.
Cougs.
San Diego State sucks.
Cougs. Will we watch this game?
I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to do it. I don't want a lot of Cougar fan out there. You guys win and you win out in blowout fashion. It'd be like last week. I didn't watch any of that game either.
Are there any late games?
Who cares?
What do we got late?
Like around the country outside of that game?
Yeah, my nephew. He's playing
under
lights. Cincinnati,
Colorado.
Saturday night? They got a Saturday night game?
Well, my nephew is six, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's going to be six, but they get one game a year in their little peewee league where you get to play under the lights.
That's badass, man.
Or no, he is six. He's going to be seven. God, I got to get that
peewee
right.
Peewee football that young.
It's their one game a year. They get to play under the lights at Century. He's really jacked for it.
I remember playing a Pop Warner playoff game one time late in the year where there were no lights at the time at Cleveland.
Oh, man, we had many dark games.
And they had to drive cars down onto the track to, like, turn their headlights on to try and
we had a game where they had to, like, the clock had to be sped up a little bit because we couldn't see the football anymore.
Yeah, not good. You got Cincinnati, Colorado at 7:15 on ESPN.
Does nothing for
that
me.
That doesn't do anything for me.
That's kind of it.
Colorado should win that game.
Not a great late slate.
No, I think after LSU and A&M wraps up around 8.
You got the Fighting Choates in Hawaii for a 9 p.m. kickoff.
The most degenerate people in the world are watching that game, and that's
9 p.m. kick.
Those are people where you go, are you paying your mortgage this month? You go, well, I'll find out if Choate helps me.
Choate doesn't let me down tonight, damn it. There you go, our big PP picks every Thursday at 8:15. The only pick we agree on is Washington State. Now, that was the case last week. We all hit it. We'll see if that is the case again. We make our picks every Thursday at 8:15. We got some Thursday night football to talk. We get back into the Blazers a little bit, who opened their season last night. Lots to get to in the next half hour. All right, we got Thursday night football tonight, or do we care? Vikings and Rams. Get to that in a moment.
Cooper Kupp is still a Ram, so.
He's still a Ram for the time being. Did you guys know the Blazers started their season last night?
I watched the whole game.
Yeah, I watched.
I watched the whole game.
I watched it.
I asked a poll question yesterday. Adrian Sprague on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Most interesting storyline this year for the Blazers is, we gave four different options. We talked a little bit about this on the show as we kind of wrapped up yesterday. Most interesting storylines for all of us going into the year. The number one answer that ended up winning in the final results was Kling Kong. Kling Kong ended up being the number one answer. And, you know, look, I certainly know you're expected to lose games this year. I'm not shocked by the outcome. You're a tanking basketball team. Not surprised in the least that you lost by 30.
I can understand listeners that hear us talk and say, guys, isn't this what you wanted?
Like, yeah, I have no issue with that. The things to look for are the things that we put in this poll question. Scoot's development, how does Kling Kong look? When does Shaden come back? Who are the guys that are coming and going at the trade deadline? Those are the storylines that will follow this year. And I think it was one of the biggest bummers for me of the night. I certainly know how I feel about Scoot. I don't know where you're at on that, but going into year two, I'm not dunking on people after one bad game. He's got 81 left this year. Hopefully he plays the entire year. I'm not dunking on it. He was not great last night. Kling Kong's the one thing that, like, throughout the summer they gave me some hope of, like, I think this guy could be legitimately a really good defensive center. I thought he showed flashes. Him playing 13 minutes was an absolute buzzkill for me last night.
It was. It was a bit of a buzzkill. I thought he'd get close to 20.
Was there a reasoning given after the game that I didn't see that he only played 13?
The tough thing with this for us is, like, catching all of the post-game press conferences. I don't know if maybe Chauncey gave some. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty late. But Chauncey may have given a reason. I would have liked to have seen 20 or more minutes, personally.
I mean, I think we could push to 20, can't we? That seems fair and reasonable.
He played the starters 32-plus minutes. I thought that was kind of the interesting part for me, is saying take them yesterday at the end of the show. I kind of thought their starting lineup could at least keep them around and come back and make it somewhat interesting. I don't think the Warriors are particularly great. I thought that group looked like dog crap. My thing with them on Scoot certainly doesn't look the part. I think that's the thing. You can look at his stats. Oh, he's the leading scorer. Oh, he got the free throw line 9 times. He doesn't look... You just watch it, and there's like, something off here.
Yeah, it seems sped up. He doesn't seem to be settled.
Yeah, when he drives to the paint, he oftentimes puts himself in a spot where it's like he's either going to shoot a really bad layup, or he's in the air looking to pass out and find somebody last second or turns it over. And so, like, the look isn't good. I think for me going forward after just one game where they've lost by 35, the only thing you can hold on to here is development. And I guess my question is, do you trust or think that this coaching staff and this organization is going to develop? It was my whole argument, too. If you're not extending Chauncey and he's throwing out to Chris Mannix, hey, I want to be a son, what are we doing here? And certainly you can say, well, they didn't find their coach, or they don't know who they want yet. Okay, but I don't know. I tend to think this is a pretty pivotal year for Scoot. Pretty pivotal season for Shaden and their future of what they want to do with him. And you're going to go and get a draft pick that's pretty high.
That's the goal, at least.
I wouldn't mind going and getting a coach that's more known for development and helping guys get better. They didn't do that approach.
Yeah.
So, like, Morang tweeted this out, like, okay, the playoff stuff's gone now. Now it's about development. And I saw that this morning because I missed it last night. And I just kind of thought, why should I feel confident about their development process? Does Chris Murray look good?
Not last night.
I think right now their main thing to develop or say, hey, maybe better, Tumani, maybe. So I just, you know, if development is what you're sticking with, I don't know how confident I am right now about their ability to develop these guys.
Yeah, that's a tough part because you just have a coach in a front office who seem to just be on different wavelengths, which is why the whole decision was weird and it didn't make any sense. We all know how this is going to end, and that should have been the move that they made this offseason of saying, hey, man, this isn't what we brought you in for. Sorry, we sold you a bill of goods that we're going to be a competing roster, and clearly that has not transpired, and so we're going to go in a different direction at head coach, and I think he would understand that and probably be relieved because he's going to lose a lot of games, and based on the way the team plays this year, he's going to have an even harder time ever finding another head coaching job because his overall win-loss record is going to be ridiculously bad.
So he'll be back with the Clippers next year.
He'll be an assistant somewhere, and that's going to be, I mean, that's where he's going to go. That to me, and like we have a listener who's been going back and forth of this all day and talking about you guys are checking out after one game. Like, nobody's checking out, man. I'm going to be watching. I spent $30 on freaking rabbit ears yesterday so I could watch this stupid game, and I will continue to watch. But to the point about development, like, that's what the entire season is going to be about. Mm-hmm. And it is a one game sample size of an 82 game season, so nobody is overreacting. I hope that there will be points of development, and there will be throughout the course of the season. That is what was so difficult about watching last night, was that there weren't many things that I would point to. Kamara knocking down a couple of threes was a really nice look. That's his biggest bugaboo that he's got to figure out. And if he can become a reliable three-point shooter, that's something that you can lean on and say he's already a great defender. He's got the length. All right, now he can knock down threes on top of it. that's what you're looking for. But the two guys that I was most curious to watch in terms of development, one was Scoot, who, yes, did get to the foul line, and that was nice. He was 0 of 5 from 3, though. We got to see him start making shots at a more reliable clip. And your top 10 pick this year in the NBA draft, who I'm genuinely excited for,
yeah,
played 13 minutes in his first NBA game when I got to watch DeAndre Ayton, who, no offense, he, like, whatever, he played 31. Like,
shot zero free throws. This Ayton no free throw thing is a real thing now, I guess. He just doesn't go to the line.
Can we knock those down to 26 and not clinging up to, like, 17 minutes? Can I get 18 minutes? Like, I know this team's going to suck. I know that they're going to lose. I'm not surprised by the outcome of the game. Give me the top 10 pick for 20 minutes a night and give me a couple of blocks and highlights. I thought in his 13 minutes he looked fine, but it's just such a small sample size that I can't even react to it.
And I think as time goes on, we can only just continue to go with what we see. To that one listener's point, I guess I would just ask, like, who are you pointing at just in this 10-year for development? Is there a player for you guys that you would point to and like highlight and say, I've seen more improved play from them since Chance got here? Because I thought Ant was pretty awful last night.
And yeah, I'm trying to think where Ant was in the last season with Stotts.
Well, Chauncey got here in 21.
So, I mean, he would be the exact, because he was still coming off the bench when Stotts was here, if I'm not mistaken, because we still had Dame and CJ.
So I think
so that would be the one.
My thing, again, it's just it's an important part of this conversation that, like, yeah, they're not going to win games. We know that. That's not a surprise.
That's the outcome we want. We want them to lose.
It's just going to be about those younger players showing the improvement. And I'm not saying they won't after one game. I'm just saying, like, it's concerning. Like, if you're coaching something, how many times did we watch last night them get beat up the court? Nobody getting back on defense.
Yep. Simple things
like
that.
I feel like after the second or third time you get them in a huddle and you say, hey, stop doing it or you're not playing. And it's just the whole game, their transition defense is trash.
Yep.
I just kind of felt like watching, and it, look, not all of this is fair to Chauncey, to be honest, because the roster's not very good. But, like, there are times where I'm just like, are you coaching?
What's the message? What are we saying in a huddle?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
It's tough.
Are you going to go on Friday night? Next home game. Pelly's in town. CJ McCollum return game. Standing ovation time.
Couldn't care less about CJ coming back. I will not be standing and clapping.
Give him an ovation.
I will be one of the only Portland fans in that building. You will see me. I will be sitting down. I could not care less about a player returning. That's up there with the same level almost. I know this is disrespectful.
Uh-oh.
But I care about as much as that return as I do Drew Eubanks. I might actually care more about Eubanks. Pride of Mountain Hood Conference.
He's a Troutdale kid.
He's a Troutdale kid. Go Reynolds Raiders.
Shaq of Troutdale.
I don't know if I'm going to go. If I go, it's going to be an early game because this is, it wasn't a great start.
Not a great start last night. Next one's Friday night. Nobody's surprised by the outcome. Hopefully we see some development and silver linings and little highlights that we can point to. We're going to be watching. I'm not checking out after one game. I did not watch many last year. Part of that was because I wasn't sleeping and I wasn't doing the show when I was on paternity leave. So I'm checked in this year. We'll see what we see on Friday night with New Orleans in town.
That was great to have his content while you were gone for 7 weeks.
Oh, it carried the show, I'm sure. Yeah. All that thrilling Blazer talk day in and day out.
A lot of days where it was like, well, Portland lost their 9th straight. NFL's done. Awesome.
Lost by 52 last night. Let's break it down. Coming up next.
So exciting.
Speaking of which, are we excited for Thursday night football? We'll answer the poll questions. We'll wrap it up on a Thursday next one. Well, we got Thursday night football tonight. My Minnesota Vikings coming out to Los Angeles.
Want to give a quick shout out to our former guy for helping me win one of my big bets this year. I hammered the Bucks -4.5 against the Sixers.
Why was that line only 4.5? Without Embiid playing, no Paul George?
It only went up a point once we found out Embiid was up, which I thought was really bizarre.
Very confusing.
Dame.
Looking pretty good.
Dame look good.
Looking good.
Bucks, nobody's talking about him. Sixers, Knicks, okay.
It was, that was one of the, and maybe I just still cape up for Dame too much, but
I definitely cape up for Dame too
much. The reaction to them losing in the playoffs last year and the year ending and him kind of catching the brunt of that was one of the funniest storylines. Like, Giannis is their best player. We all know that Giannis is their best player.
Yes.
If he's not healthy in the playoffs, like,
Yeah, but I did think he was incredibly honest, and I think this is where the flack came from. Him basically saying, I didn't work out in the summer. I didn't want to get hurt.
Didn't want to get hurt. Didn't want to affect the trade.
And then he lived in a hotel because he got traded to Milwaukee super late, had nowhere to really live.
I mean, going through a divorce.
That's not easy. Moved away from his family, goes through the divorce. Yeah, last year did not go well for them, and it was surprising to look at the record comp from last season with these two teams. They were two games better than the Sixers, even with the dysfunction.
With how bad we thought they were in the regular season.
Yeah.
What did they end up being, the 3 seed, I think, in the East?
You might be right. Because
I think they had home court against Indiana.
6, right? Yeah. I think it was a 3-6 matchup.
Sounds about right. It is funny how doom and gloom it felt, and they were the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. I mean, it's as simple as keep Giannis healthy. They got a legit shot to win it all. He hasn't been healthy in back-to-back postseasons, and that's why they haven't won.
Dirt, why am I not spraying the line on the Vikings minus 2.5? I know Nakua and Cooper might be back, but...
I know. It seems like a trap. We need Lockie. Where's Lockie? Need him, dude.
Did you see us? I had an interaction with him last night.
Lockie was all over Twitter last night. If you're on social media,
I miss him today.
I miss him. He let us know. Maybe there's some traps out there for us. I will gamble on the Vikings tonight. I'm not going to spread the line on it. But really? We missed our, remember last Thursday, all said this about Denver and New Orleans.
I gambled on the Broncos.
Why are we not spreading the line on this game? And we didn't do it, but we all won money on it. And tonight,
it's
2.5 on DraftKings? Because on ESPN it says 3.
It's Nakua Cooper coming back is what would scare you there, right? Stafford finally looking like a competent NFL quarterback because his guys are back?
Yeah, you know how I feel about Minnesota. My boy Sammy D, I'm rooting for my MVP ticket. But if you tell me that they slip up again and lose this game, I'm not that surprised.
Short week. Emotional home loss.
Yes, where they got torched against the Blitz. I mean, Detroit, that should have been a wider margin. If they don't have a fluky scoop and score, touchdown return late, they lose that game by 10. Their defense was horrendous last weekend.
Yeah.
So you tell me that they come on the road, Sam Darnold throws a funky pick.
Part of that was Goff, though, too. Goff was really good under pressure.
He was outstanding,
man. He was amazing under pressure.
He was outstanding. But all that being said, I will be gambling on the Minnesota Vikings tonight. Don't let me down, Vikings. Don't let me down.
I don't think the Rams are a very good football team.
I don't either. I don't either.
I want to do it so bad.
Do we see an undefeated team fall tonight? Will anybody be watching Syracuse and the Fighting Honda McCords on the road at Pitt? Did you know that the Pitt Panthers are still undefeated?
I did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Does it come to an end tonight? We got a Thursday night.
Is it
ACC? It's at Pittsburgh.
It's in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's favored by 6.
6.
I don't know about the spread, but...
I love that we have an undefeated team in a power conference and nobody even tries to rank them in the top. They're ranked 19th in the AP poll right now. Everybody's like, shut up, Pitt.
See, that's kind of the thing is, I don't know if their resume is very good, but
it's
also...
It's not. Breaking news, it's not.
Okay. Penn State's best win is USC?
USC, probably.
4-3 and 4?
4-3, I think. Are they 3-4?
No, they're 3-4. They lost to Maryland.
Ooh, buddy.
They were 3-3. That was a 3-3 versus 3-3 game.
Touche, you're right.
So, sub-500 USC? But yeah, let's give Penn State all of the credit.
They played Kent State and Youngstown State in non-conference. do they have a third non-conference game? Or Cincinnati. They beat Cincinnati 28-27 from the Big 12. That's your non-conference schedule. Their conference schedule, they beat Cal last week 17-15, beat North Carolina, and they beat West Virginia. Or West Virginia, I guess, the Big 12 team as well. So that is happening tonight.
Are you going to check in on that game?
I'll be watching Pitt? That a little bit. It's 4:30. It starts before the NFL game kicks off, so I'll keep an eye on that one. I'm just curious. If they keep winning, it's just a weird scenario in the ACC of, that conference is so bad. The rest of the way, they do have to play Clemson, but they get them at home. They go to SMU, so it should settle itself. So let's just get them out of the way.
SMU play Miami or Clemson? Could you have a three-way undefeated ACC, and how do you sort that out?
So there are 4 ACC undefeated teams. Clemson is 5-0 in conference. Miami's 3-0. SMU 3-0. Pitt's only 2-0. SMU's conference schedule, they do not play Clemson, and they do not play Miami.
So what happens if those three teams go undefeated?
Tiebreaker. We go to a tiebreaker.
But, what if Miami doesn't get to the ACC title game? You could have...
Dude, they rigged the Hail Mary. They will rig this tiebreaker. They will rig SMU out of this tiebreaker. The first tiebreaker will be you have to be accepting a media share from the conference to play in the conference championship game, and SMU will be left out at that
point. Hold on. I'm kind of curious now. Title game tiebreaker. How does
it goes
work?
To weird... It's supposed to be, if you have a loss...
Win percentage against common opponents.
Common opponents, but they'd all be undefeated, so nobody would have lost. So right. Common opponents... So I think it would go to combined score or point differential.
Well, does common opponents include non-conference? If anybody played, they're all undefeated, so it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter because they would have won it, yeah. So I'm imagining
it moves
point
to win percentage against common opponents with the added caveat of order of finish in the conference, beginning with the highest seeded common opponents, moving downward in order of the standings. The fourth step is to factor in the combined winning percentage of a team's conference opponent with the team who faced the better opponents gaining the advantage.
Okay, wow. So you go through who you played in conference, what their overall win-loss record is, and the best winning percentage of that, it sounds like, would be the tiebreaker in
that
scenario.
If we get to the fifth step of this, it's a third-party sports source analytics determining a team rating score at the conclusion of regular season play.
Hold on, I'm being told by my sources, if that happens, I'm being told their analytics company would take Miami Clemson.
Yeah, SMU, yeah. You...
wait, sources are telling me, hold on.
That's just bad luck.
Oh, sorry. Dang it. The analytics are better there. Their defense is terrible, but the analytics are better.
If three or more teams... The league will do their first by considering head-to-head. If that doesn't happen, winning percentage, common opponents. Oh, my God, the ACC.
Do you trust the Blazer coaching staff to develop and improve young players on the roster? 80% of you so far saying no.
It's yes, no, or not sure yet, to be fair.
Is the dirty poll correct? 60% of you say yes. Damn right it is.
Wow, that was 60% no when I checked it.
Do you let the facts be the weight when it comes to watching the Blazers? 82% of you say, what the hell does that mean?
Somebody asked if you were Michael Scott.
If Swag was Michael Scott on that quote. Sometimes I start a sentence and I just don't know how it's going to end. Good luck today with your checking of the pumpers.
Thank you.
We're rooting for your pumpers today. It's always good to check on your pumpers.
I'm spraying line. Vikings minus 2.5.
Lock it in? Okay. It's locked in. Heard it here first. Minus 2.5. Minnesota Vikings. I'll be riding with you. Not springing line, but I'll be riding with you. Let's go Vikings tonight. That will do it for us. Thanks so much for being a part of our Thursday. George Reister was great talking Ducks, college football. Go check that, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080thefan. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Like the video before it shuts down. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We will talk to you tomorrow on a Football Friday, baby. Colin is next. Listen to 1080 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.